Radio Daily for not Monday. And this is already going to be a long one, I can tell it. And doubly so because today, get ready for it, it's February the 13th. Dun, dun, dun. There's like heart-shaped hockey mask wearing serial killers running around. It's just nonsensical shit's what it is. Hi there. Welcome. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those fantastic places. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man greeting the week like he usually does. It's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Please, no gang signs. No, throw it up. I'm kidding.
No, he doesn't. He's cool like that. That's simply how he goes. And I'm right there with him because I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
That's how I roll.
You're damn right. What happened on this fine day, sir?
Well, in 1588, Tycho Brahe first outlines his Tychonic system of the structure of the solar system. The Tychonic system is a hybrid combining the basic idea of the geocentric system of Ptolemy with the heliocentric ideas of Nicholas Copernicus, and has absolutely nothing to do with the Lego knockoff.
No, not at all. And welcome back. That one was for you. 1633, Italian astronomer Galileo Galilei arrives in Rome for his trial before the Inquisition, during which he will be charged with professing his belief that the Earth revolves around the sun. Heresy!
The Inquisition. 1635, the first public school in the United States, the Boston Latin School, is founded.
1741, Andrew Bedford publishes the first American magazine entitled American Magazine.
1795, the University of North Carolina becomes the first U.S. state university to admit students when Hinton James arrives on campus. He will remain the only student on campus for 2 weeks, and yet he still gets hazed.
The panty raids were just awful. 1866, Jesse James and his gang commit the first armed bank robbery in United States history during peacetime in Liberty, Missouri. Before that, during war, it was all the rage.
1880, Thomas Edison first observes the Edison effect. Oh, Jesus. While trying to discover why his incandescent lamp filaments were breaking. So something fails and that's a new thing I invented. Yeah, I discovered it. It's called the me effect.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't call it the Tesla effect, just the extra middle finger.
No, because that works. 1894, Auguste and Louis Lumière patent the cinematography, a combination movie camera and projector.
1912, Robert Millikan begins collecting data from his famous oil drop experiment, the purpose of which is to determine the size of the charge on an electron.
You know, it's a good size. 1937, Prince Valiant in the Days of King Arthur, a comic strip known for its attention to historical detail, first appears. No one to this day has still read it.
I believe that's called the Edison effect. 1946, the world's first electronic digital computer, the ENIAC, or Electronic Numerical Integrator and Calculator, is first demonstrated at the Moore School of Electrical Engineering at the University of Pennsylvania, occupying a 1,500 square foot room.
1949, in Quito, Ecuador, locals riot after learning that a Spanish language version of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds that had set off a panic across the city was a prank. A mob burns down the radio station that broadcast the program, along with the offices of the local newspaper, which participated in the hoax by publishing false reports of unidentified objects in the skies over Ecuador. 20 people or more die in the riots, including the girlfriend and nephew of one of the broadcast producers, and the total property damage is estimated at like $350,000. Three employees of the radio broadcasting company will subsequently be arrested. The Kardashians are still allowed to be on TV.
And I believe that this was the first instance of fake news. 1960, France detonates its first plutonium bomb over 330-foot tower at the Regane base in the Sahara Desert in French Algeria. General Charles de Gaulle set the date for the first atomic explosion to assert France's independence on the world stage.
Yeah, we're big. We're bad.
1980, Apollo Computer is incorporated in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. Apollo will become known for creating the first workstations, small but powerful computer, mostly used for engineering. In 1989, Hewlett-Packard will acquire them in a $476 million deal, and that's why you live in an office now with a cubicle.
It's true, and in fact, it also just beat out the Rocky computer, which was available at your nearest Radio Shack.
You don't have the eye of the tiger anymore, Rock.
Look, I come with a new floppy.
You haven't been hungry since you processed that spreadsheet.
I don't know, man. I mean, why are you busting my chops, man? I was
And this concludes GRD Community Theater. In 1983, according to Twin Galaxies, Jason Smith scores a record-setting 2,220,000 points playing the Midway arcade game Gorf at the Gold Mine Arcade in Midland, Texas.
It's a silly name, but it was a very fun game. 1990, the U.S. space probe Voyager 1 captures a photograph of the sun and six planets in a single shot taken from the edge of the solar system. The sun appears almost like a star in the photo, which is unusual for the sun, and the planets are just these little tiny small dots.
1998, Warner Brothers releases the science fiction film Sphere, starring Dustin Hoffman, Sharon Stone, and Samuel L. Jackson. The film was based on the 1987 novel of the same name by Michael Crichton.
And almost good. 2000, the Fox Broadcasting Company airs the Simpsons episode Alone Again, Natcha Diddley in the U.S. This features a home video game system in the game Billy Graham's Bible Blaster.
Oh, we're not going to mention what he actually calls
no,
that.
No, we're not.
The last original Peanuts comic strip appears in the same day in the same year in newspapers one day after legendary Charles M. Schulz passes away.
2001, Microsoft introduces Windows XP at the Experience Music Project, that's EMP, in Seattle, Washington. The name XP is short for experience, and all gamers went, duh.
I just thought you leveled up after having to work on them. 2002, Emerson files a lawsuit against Microsoft and Sony for infringing on its joystick force feedback technology with the design of Xbox and PlayStation 2 controllers.
2003, Motorola announces it will release a cell phone running the Linux operating system.
2004, the FCC establishes rules for providing internet access over electrical power lines.
Gotta stay away from power lines. 2007, D-Wave Systems, based in Burnberry near Vancouver, demonstrates its Orion system at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California. It marks the first public demonstration of a quantum computer. In the demonstration, the system runs three applications simultaneously.
In 2007, 2009, the space fiction television series Dollhouse premieres on Fox with the episode Ghost. The series is directed and created by Joss Whedon and stars Eliza Dushku, who also served as a producer and came up with the original idea.
Same year, Unix time reaches 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0 seconds at 23:31:30 UTC. The event is marked by various sites and tech communities around the world. Unix, of course, being an operating system developed in the late 60s by Bell Labs that only me and three other people remember.
I think they gathered together and sacrificed a Pokemon.
Birthdays?
Mina Suvari, 39 years old, from American Beauty, American Pie, and Sugar and Spice.
Neil McDonough is 52 from Minority Report, Red 2, Dum Dum in Captain America, Damian Dark in the Arrowverse.
Matt Salinger, 58 years old, Revenge of the Nerds in the 1990 Captain America.
Pernilla August is 60. She was Shimmy Skywalker in prequels to Star Wars that I had no idea ever got made.
Excuse me, sir. I believe her name is Shmi. Richard Tyson, 62 years old, from 3 O'Clock High, Kindergarten Cop, and Battlefield Earth.
I swear to God, 3 O'Clock High is such a good movie. Jerry Springer is 74 from, of course, Ringmaster and that show of his, you know, the Jerry Seinfeld show or something.
What's the deal with these? Here's a fun fact about Mr. Jerry Springer. He used to be the mayor of Cincinnati until he was fired for paying for a lady of the evening with a check.
So you always got to use cash, man.
Yeah, obviously. Stalker Channing, 74 years old, also from Greece, Barbara Gordon, and Batman Beyond.
George Siegel is 84 from Terminal Man, Roller Coaster, Look Who's Talking, Just Shoot Me, many other things.
And he was in Cable Guy. Kim Novak, 85 years old, from Vertigo.
No longer with us, born this date in 1834, Heinrich Cairo synthesized the first indigo dye.
1884, Alfred Carlton Gilbert, American pole vaulter and businessman, founded the A.C. Gilbert Company, which introduced the erector set.
1932, Susan Oliver, she was Vina in the original series episode The Cage.
Ooh, 1938, Oliver Reed, 79 years old, from Curse of the Werewolf, Tommy, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, and Gladiator.
And sadly, none of those films are on TV tonight.
Damn it.
That's true, but on CBS, we've got a rerun of NCIS Bull, NCIS Nuh-uh.
On ABC, it's a new episode of The Bachelor, Winter Games, and then Lights, Camera, Romance!
NBC, counter-programming against that, has new figure skating, alpine skiing, snowboarding at the 2018 Winter Olympics. Will they be able to beat The Bachelor in ratings? Who cares?
On Fox, it's a rerun of Lethal Weapon, LA to Vegas, and The Mick.
CW has a rerun of The Flash. An unexpected phone call triggers Jefferson to investigate the murder of his father in a new Black Lightning.
What, my dad's dead? I'll be right there. On Freeform, Steph's mother arrives back in town for a visit on a new The Fosters.
BET has Gucci Mane and Keishia Kaohor on the main event.
I love watching you try to say things. FX, Chip decides to integrate a California-style earthiness into his clown routine on a new Baskets.
I really got to watch that show. FXX is a Simpsons marathon with Homer on See How the Test Was Won, No Loan Again Naturally, in the name of the grandfather.
FXM will be showing First Class because, you know, you still own it right now. Show those movies.
History Channel has Tim and Mike take a look at an important Nazi support point in Uruguay on a new Hunting Bigfoot Hitler.
IFC will be showing Scream, the original one, the good one.
Nickelodeon has The Nut Job.
The Paramount Network will have a new episode of Ink Master.
Sundance has The Color Purple, clearly as a way to get Oprah to actually run for office.
Ah, it's clever. TBS with a new episode of The Detour, if you prefer.
TNT has San Andreas.
USA with a new WWE SmackDown. But tonight we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman was living a beautiful life as a successful crime novelist. Then her world's turned dark when she was betrayed by her husband. And then police ignore her and she finds herself in a scary situation fighting to save her children. Sarah Butler and Josh Byers star in Woman on the Run.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Abby and Stefan share a moment. They both claim to have killed Andre. John attempts to inject Steve with another dose, cause slow poisoning works every time. Kate is reunited with Billy, who has a mysterious reason for being in town. Oh, I bet she's an ISA cleaner. But she don't do windows. Claire confronts Sierra about the secret she shared with Tripp, which means she's told almost as many people as Sierra had. But nobody told Hope. And I mean, because I find that funny. Hashtag Chabby forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, no, of course there isn't, because everyone is far too busy trying to figure out what the goat would do to their pictures and cakes and letters and pictures. Those goats are voracious, man. Voracious damn goats. But if you can get past the voracious goats, by all means, drop us a note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. We will celebrate you and your victory over that damn Adam Sandler goat.
Send dunes.
Sand dunes?
Send dunes.
Oh, I see.
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week. Written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me. As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.
Hi, this is Will Wheaton, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily.
And there's nothing you can really do. Well, okay, there is, but I don't want you to take any kind of weird, drastic steps, all right? Because it's not the day for it.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
No, but you do, and we're going to add to your collection today. What we buying, yo?
The Too Hot for TV Little House on the Prairie Complete Collection.
Snap! Doctor Who, Twice Upon a Time, see Capaldi, and the original Doctor, not played by the original Doctor, together again at last for the first time.
And if you'd like Capaldi's entire run, that of course is available on digital versatile disc as well.
The Deuce, Season 1. Talk about stretching a concept.
Dragnet, the classic, Season 1 is available.
The Complete Three's Company. Get the story of a young man who pretends to be gay so he can live with two hot women.
Come on, go and knock on their door. We've also got Season 1 of The Sinner.
Broad City, Season 4.
We've also got Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? The Complete Series.
Red vs. Blue, Season 15, because it just won't die.
Yeah. From our anime department, we have Food Wars, The Second Plate. The
Criterion Collection gets a fantastic version of Night of the Living Dead.
And, of course, Silence of the Lambs.
Which I already have on Criterion. Re-release, you've got The Incredible Hulk. That's the 2008 version. That's the Edward Norton version. You sort of remember that.
I liked it all the way up until the end. A Baby Secret of the Lost Legend.
Crimson Pirate starring Burt Lancaster.
And Benji, the 1974 version, in a two-disc set. What is on that extra disc? Who knows?
A bunch of The Deuce Season 1. From our could-be porn department, The Ballad of Lefty Brown. You don't want to know why either one of those nicknames are appropriate.
In our theatrically released movies, we've got that are on DVD, we've got Wonder.
Blad of the Immortal, which I'm guessing must be Blade, and I left off an E.
Blade. At least it's not Bladder of the Immortal. We've also got Hellraiser Judgment, which is like the 17th installment.
Yeah, but it doesn't have Doug Bradley, so F it. Pokemon the movie, I choose you.
Roman J. Israel Esquire.
Halo, The Fall of Reach. But we're getting some killer storylines and themes zigzagging across the screen and a grind-o-vision nonstop thrill ride of babes, guns, muscle cars, motorcycle shootouts, rendezvous with the devil, and much, much more. From Manhunt to Stripper with a Shotgun, it's cinema exploitation at its best when we watch Patrick Bergen, Michael Madsen, and Linnea Quigley in Grindhouse Nightmares.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So remember that 80s-style Joker origin film by Martin Scorsese we talked about that sounded insane?
Yep.
How's this for insane? Joaquin Phoenix is going to play the Joker in the Todd Phillips untitled Joker origin film produced by Scorsese. He was approached for the role late 2017 and said, well, hell yeah, I want to do it. Phillips' Joker said to delve into what it took for the Joker to become a master. Okay, it's gonna be the Killing Joke. Come on. The film is framed as part of an unnamed new banner with Warner Brothers' DC Films division that's out of continuity with the primary DC extended universe stories,
like most of them are. Ha ha, ha ha ha.
Jared Leto is still expected to play the Joker in the DC Suicide Squad sequels. If it is the same Joker character, I don't even know, man. This will be Phoenix's third time trying to be somebody. He was almost Doctor Strange. He said no to Lex Luthor because if you're going to hold out for the big one. And Phoenix really must like Dancing with the Devil in the Pale Moonlight.
Don't worry, I ask that of all my prey. Hey, kids, do you remember how cool Iron Man was when he first appeared? With his augmented reality view with Jarvis and blasting everything with his hand before he became the comically deep cause of trouble in the entire MCU. Yeah, that was rad. It was also 10 years ago, so you're getting old. Anyway, if you think that's cool, Hasbro has a new toy for you. The Iron Man Hero Vision Mask is basically an ordinary Iron Man helmet with a removable sleeve for your phone, similar to Google Cardboard, Google Daydream View, or the Samsung Gear VR. You put the phone in the sleeve, put the sleeve in the mask, then stare at the screen as your phone's camera pipes in your surroundings with a Jarvis-like heads-up display. You then slip on a hand blaster covered in AR tags, and the Hero Vision software tracks where it is, rendering Iron Man's gauntlet over it. The demo included an Infinity Stone, small plastic gem that has an AR tag on it, and it still looks a bit better with the Infinity Stones included with the Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite Collector's Edition. It was just one stone, which implies that the other Hero Vision products will feature the other five stones, but Hasbro hasn't announced anything yet. It was a fun, simple little game that kids might like, paired with an Iron Man helmet that looks pretty good, even without the clip-on AR goggles that make it incredibly obvious you have a phone in front of your face behind the eye holes, so it may not hold up as cosplay ready. It isn't a revolutionary new AR toy that uses HoloLens tech or anything like that, but considering the Marvel Avengers Infinity War Hero Vision Iron Man AR experience, yes, that's its full name, will be just $50 when it ships this spring, it doesn't have to be. It's a role-playing toy with an AR gimmick that Hasbro might build upon, and it's a pretty interesting start. If you want to pay $50 a pop for each Infinity Stone. No word yet on whether it will interact with your VHS copies of Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
Apple has joined the cool kids in the quest to put a microphone in everybody's house. The $350 HomePod smart speaker is now on sale in the US, UK, and Australia 2 months later than initially planned. Firmly marketed at music lovers, the wireless 7-inch smart speaker uses spatial awareness technology to sense its place in a room and adjust audio output accordingly. Of course, you can control it with voice commands. It'll give you news and weather when you don't have a window to look out of or anything. It's fitted with 6 microphones to record owner's voice commands and catch any product you mention so they can send you spam. The device joins the battle between Google and Amazon for the lucrative smart speaker market. The HomePod is more than twice the price of Google Home and costs more than 3 times the Amazon Echo. But it's Apple, so of course it does. HomePod's compatible with the iPhone 5S or later, but will run much slower on those, so go ahead and upgrade now. The speaker is designed primarily to work with Apple Music, and users can ask HomePod directly to play music from the Apple Music Library. Ooh. Users can use AirPlay to play music from one music provider from the iPhone or iPad or... Okay, whatever. Me? I'm just going to put on my damn Walkman, okay? Fine. I'm old. Deal with it.
Martha Ray. Dentureware. She would have loved technology. Dentures are going to be a thing of the past soon. Rather than drilling holes into teeth and plugging them in with artificial fillers, dentists in the near future may be able to rebuild your teeth with a new technique. Professor Paul Sharp, a scientist based at King's College in London, and his team have found a way to do this in mice. Mice and dentures. It sounds like a new Adult Swim show, actually. The researchers wanted to increase the natural ability of teeth to repair themselves by activating the stem cells that reside in the dental pulp of teeth. They knew that previous research showed that the signaling pathway is a key for stem cell activity in many parts of the body, and they wanted to see if it works the same way in teeth. Normally, this level of regeneration is only seen in animals like starfish and salamanders. To see if this would work, the team drilled holes into the molar teeth of mice to simulate dental cavities. Next, they exposed collagen sponges, the same protein found in the dentine in teeth, to a variety of drugs known to stimulate the WNT pathway. Then they placed those sponges into the cavities and sealed them in for between 4 to 6 weeks.
Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
Oof, I think so, Brian, but this time I'm going to have to snort the pixie sticks. My teeth are itchy.
After this time, the researcher saw that the teeth exposed to these sponges had created a lot more dentine than the control mice and mice given typical dental fillers. The researchers observed that this was essentially a full repair, and in most cases, the teeth of the mice were as good as new. So the next step, of course, is clinical trials. Will it work? Well, the tooth shall set us free.
Narf!
Much like being green, asking someone out at work, going to bars, finding love, it's never easy. Some even join an online dating site and hope for the best. And that's what perennial bachelor Romeo did. After 10 years of the single life, the Sewinkus water frog is ready to find his Juliet. The once abundant aquatic amphibian is the last of his kind. He must meet a match soon to save his species. No pressure or anything. In an effort to raise awareness and money for Romeo's plight, Global Wildlife Conservation teamed with Match.com for a crowdfunding campaign. Through Valentine's Day, the online dating service will match each donation up to $15,000 to support the Bolivian Amphibian Initiative's planned expeditions to hunt for more Sewinkus water frogs. Capital will support frog catching equipment, headlamps, crevassier, transportation, iPod featuring Marvin Gaye, and guides on 10 trips to areas where the species were once common, as well as place where similar habitats where biologists have not yet looked. To give Romeo a platform for his story, Match.com created a digital dating profile where singles can learn more about him and donate to his cause. Match.com, really? Really? Not Jumper? I'm a pretty simple guy, according to Romeo's bio. I tend to keep to myself and have the best nights just chilling at home, maybe binge-watching the waters around me. I do love food, though, and will throw a pair of pants on and get out of the house if there's a worm or snail to be eaten. Yay! The Sewinkus water frog at one time filled the bottom of small streams and rivers in Bolivia. Climate change, habitat loss, pollution, the deadly chytrid amphibian pathogen, and the introduction of trout, however, ran it out of South American home. Now, since 2010, Romeo has lived in an aquarium in a shipping container turned amphibian ark in the Museo de Historia Natural Así de Orbegiana in Cochabamba City, Bolivia. Some words I might have said correctly. In addition to searching for Sewinkus frogs, explorers will test streams and rivers for traces of DNA, hoping to confirm that the croakers are there, even if team members don't immediately spot them. If you're having trouble finding love, get a team together, because if this frog can make it happen, so can you. Just hop to it.
Waka, waka, waka!
This is the Creative Commons. Attribution, not commercial, not derivative, works, I say, license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
Yes, goddammit, I said hop to it! That's right!
Too many lily pads to cross to get to that punchline, but still worth it.
Each and every time. I could have just said, hey man, why don't you go down there and see what the pigs are doing? But I decided to let that one go. Go to youtube.com/geekradiodaily. There's all kinds of fun, fantastical things there, and drop us a note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. You'll be glad you did. And I think that's all I really have to say about that.
Blah, 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 blah.
Funny. I detect no source of amusement.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
Oh, gosh, that's fun. I really could do this all day. Open it up. They could have at least tried to hide this chemical bomb. Serves them right. It's getting stolen and used against them. Oh. You brought arrows to a gunfight.
What guns?
Oh. That was actually pretty clever. Kill them. You know, I gotta be honest. I really thought we'd be doing this dance a lot longer. Night-night. What was that?